All right. Thank you, Pastor David, and thank you for reading through the scripture. I went home this evening, and I had a message prepared all week. I'm going to preach out of Daniel chapter number 6, and I got to reading this again, and the Lord said, no, this is where I want you to be. So I want to do what the Lord says do.
Amen.
I have to show you this because we live in such a day of false prophets. You know, Jehoshaphat, he's an interesting character. I really haven't studied Jehoshaphat in detail until this past week. I began to look into detail to this man. Now, he was not without flaw. He's a human being. We all have flaws. You know what got him? You studied Jehoshaphat. His alliances. He got together with the wrong people, namely King Ahab, you know, and he got his son married Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. I don't think I have to tell you how that ended. That family, but it caught up with him. But he done so much good for the Lord. And there was something about Jehoshaphat that caught my attention when I was going back this past week looking over, and I'm going to bring it to your attention. I'm not going to preach it. I just want to bring it to your attention to show you a quality of a man that I really appreciate, and I hope you'll appreciate it too. There was a time, to go back to chapter 18 of 2 Chronicles, there was a time when Jehoshaphat, God was blessing him. We looked at it in chapter 17 this morning. God was blessing King Jehoshaphat. And God was blessing his works. And God was blessing all that he was doing. And then Ahab came to him and said, listen. He said, I think that we ought to go down. In chapter 18, he said, I think we ought to go down to Ramoth Gilead. And I think we ought to fight there. And he said, I want us to join forces together. And I want us to go down and fight. And Jehoshaphat said, well, you know, he said, I'll do that if it's God's will. He said, we need to get the prophets of God and let them prophesy to us. And you can read this in chapter 18, and I'm going to show you something that really stuck out to me. And he said, okay, Ahab did. He said, we're going to call 400 prophets in. And he said, we're going to let them prophesy. And every one of them said, oh, yeah, go on up. Everything's going to be all right. King Jehoshaphat said, I don't feel good about this. There's just something not settling well with me about this prophecy. And he said, is there another prophet besides the ones you've chosen? He didn't have any confidence in old Ahab prophets. Hey, you better be careful about who you listen to. Amen. You walk in with God and a man starts prophesying and a red flag goes up, you better watch out. There's a lot of false prophets in these days. You know, we talk a lot about the last days and a lot of the signs of the times. And brethren, they're everywhere. Now, they're everywhere. The signs of the times are everywhere. But I'm going to tell you a prevailing sign of the times of the last days. Jesus said that there shall many, many false prophets come, and they shall deceive many. He said, I want to bring another man in. And he said in verse number 6 of chapter 18, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? I've heard these men, he said, I don't know. Something doesn't ring true about what these other prophets have said. Is there a prophet of God in the house? Is there somebody that will tell us what God said and not just what maybe they think we want to hear? You say, how do you know he's saying that? Because if you'll look in verse number 7, the king of Israel, that's Ahab, he said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Hey, when an evil man starts saying that he hates a preacher, I think I might want to hear him preach.
Amen? Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
When somebody like old Ahab says, I hate him, we don't have anything to do with that preacher, I think I might want to give him an ear and see what he's got going on.
Yeah.
And the scripture said here, he said, I hate him. Look why I hate him. He said, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. He said, the man's name is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Bring him in. Amen.
Yeah.
Want to hear what this man's got to say.
Right.
Long story short, okay? Long story short, these other prophets went to him and said, hey, just go along with us, go along with us. And he said, no, I'm going to say what God said. I'm going to say what God said. And I didn't really intend on going into this, but God just laid it on my heart heavy when I got behind the pulpit here. And you read it sometime. I wish I could just just put my finger on it right here, but they went to him and they said, listen, you just go with what we said and everything will be all right. And he said, I can't do that. He said, whatever God tells me, that's what I'm going to tell them. I'm a prophet of God. I'm a man of God. I'm going to say what God said say. Amen. Now, see, that's what we need in our day.
Right.
We need some men that will just preach the word, brethren. Just preach the Bible. Just preach. You say, well, they'll hate you. You think that bothered this prophet? Now, he had to pay a price for it. It cost Ahab his life. He prophesied that Ahab was going to die. Ahab tried to disguise himself as a soldier instead of a king, but that didn't stop the arrow of God. Read this sometime. Now, don't read it while I'm preaching tonight. I'm just whetting your appetite a little bit. This is good stuff right here. Amen? You say, I'm going to go home and watch a movie tonight. You go home and watch this, you'll get a lot more out of it, and you'll be much better for it. God's Word. You can't improve on it. You can't improve on it. So we go back to chapter 20, and we see, we said this morning, what to do when you don't know what to do. We said the first thing you do is what? Pray. They prayed. All right? They prayed. In chapter number 20, if you look in verse 6, 7, right in there, they prayed. And then the scripture says that the Spirit of God, in verse number 14, came upon Jehaziel. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied. Look in verse number 15 of chapter 20, and he said, hearken ye. He said, God's got something that he wants to instruct you. So when you get in a fix in life, as we said this morning in verse number 12, right down toward the end, he said, neither know we what to do. He was talking to God and said, God, we don't know what to do. When you get in a fix in life, you pray. And then number two, you listen. You listen. Because when you pray, God's going to answer. God's going to speak to you. God's promised in his word, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Now that's a promise, brethren. And so they called unto God, and then they listened. And you know what God did? He spoke to them. He spoke. And through the prophet, the messenger, in verse number 15, he said, hearken ye. And when you follow this, he gives them instructions on what he wants them to do. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, God told me, in verse number 15, to tell you, don't be afraid. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle, I'm in verse 15, is not yours, but God's. He said, now tomorrow, I want you to go down against them. And he just lines it out, step by step. Did you know that's what God will do for you? That's what God has done, and that's what God will do for you and I. If we will pray, God will give us instruction. And through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, God will begin to guide us step by step. Just like he did these people. For God is no respecter of persons. And so they prayed, and then they waited, and they listened, and God spoke. And God gave them instructions. I like the latter part of verse number 17. He said, for the Lord will be with you. That's a wonderful, you talking about something that's comforting. There's just times in my life, and I'm sure there's been times in your life, and there may be, you may be in this time right now, that you're in a hard place in your life, and you just don't know what tomorrow may bring. But you just know, if God will be with me, it's going to be okay. Amen? If God will just be with me, it's going to be okay. God makes it okay, you see. God makes it okay. And then verse number 18, they begin to worship the Lord. Now, I'm building on something here. Then the verse number 19, the Bible says that they, the latter part says that they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And early, in verse number 20, they rose up early in the morning and they began to carry out what the instructions that God had given them. They began to carry them out. And if you'll look in verse number 20, Jehoshaphat stood as their leader, as their king, and here's what he said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Believe his word. You can count on God is what he's telling them. You can count on God. Brethren, can I tell you this evening, and I know many of you, you're doing it where I tell you or not. Can I tell you can count on God? You can't always count on man. But you can always count on God. God will never let you down. Never. And he didn't let them down. The scripture goes on to say, verse number 21, he consulted with the people. Now, this is what I want you to zero in on. We're going to go to another place in the scripture. I want to teach you what the Bible says, how to praise God. I think there's people who don't know how to praise God. Some people think if they jump up, and listen, I'm not opposed. The Bible clearly says right here in the latter part of verse number 19 that the children of the Kohathites, they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. But there's other ways to praise God. How do you praise God? I want you to be thinking about something before we go there. There's one psalm in all the Bible that's called the Psalm of Praise. Now, I didn't say there was one psalm that was a psalm of praise. There are many psalms of praise. But there's only one psalm in all the Bible that's called the Psalm of Praise. What is it? Do you know? It was written by David. It was his last psalm. David saved the best for last. His last psalm was a psalm of praise. It's the only psalm in all the psalms that's called the Psalm of Praise. We're going to look at it tonight. Because in that Psalm of Praise, David says, here's how you praise God. The Spirit of God moved on David and said, I'm going to write a song on how to praise God. You want to know how to praise God? The Bible will tell you how. It will. We're going to see it in just a moment. But before we do, I want you to notice something. Here's why I want you to know how to praise God, and here's how why I want to know how to praise Him, and here's how I want us to know. And this is why I believe God inspired that psalm to teach us how to praise, because praise brings victory. Did you know the Bible says that when you begin to praise God, God shows up? You want God to move in and get on the scene? You say, well, the presence of God is always there, preacher. But you know there's a special presence that comes when you begin to praise God. The Bible teaches that in Psalm 22, verse 3. God inhabits the praises of His people. I told you Wednesday night that Satan is allergic to praise. But God inhabits the praises of His people. Notice, if you would, in verse 21, it says, when He had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. See, this was something that was set up. I don't believe in that prefabricated praise. Well, Jehoshaphat did, and it worked out well for him.
Amen.
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 Amen. The Bible says right here in verse 21, he consulted with the people, and he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you singers right over here. He said, I want y'all to get right over here. And he said, I want you to begin to sing and to praise God for the beauty of His holiness. Then look what the scripture says. And he said, they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. What a message. Hey, man, what a message. Could you imagine if while we were out in public tomorrow, if we just began to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. So, well, people might think I'm crazy. They might. But they might think you have a God that's worthy to praise. It might wake them up. It might make them want to ask questions and say, what's that person so happy about? In a time where everybody's fearful and skittish and contrary and to their self, we go out and start praising God, people's going to start wondering, hey, what's this person happy about? What's this person praising? Who is this person singing praises to? Praise gets people's attention. Look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise. I want you to underline the word when. Didn't happen until then. God didn't give them the victory until they followed His instructions. God said, I'm going to fight this battle. But that doesn't mean you don't have a role in it. See, I think sometimes we think when we hear phrases like, the battle's the Lord, that just means we sit back and just rejoice in the victory. No, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. God says you have a role in this. And your role is to praise me and believe me and to claim my promises. And when you do that, then victory's coming. God told them that. By the way, this is not the only time in the scripture this happens. When people claim the promises, God gets involved. So the Bible says, when, verse 22, they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab and Mount Zion, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And Pastor David read the rest to you there, how that they were smitten. Not one of them was taken. They went in, they took their spoils. It took them 3 days to get all of the spoils that God had for them there. Look what happened on the fourth day in verse 26. Now, these people got in victory. Now, they got victory by praising and singing. And then what did they do? Look, after they got the victory, look in verse number 26. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves together in the valley of Barakah, and they blessed the Lord. You know what the name Barakah means? Blessing. They named that little area after what God had done for them. God has blessed us. We're just going to call this place the place of blessing. Amen. Well, wouldn't it be something when people began to come to the house of God, they'd say, I tell you right now, that was a blessing. That place down there is a blessing. That place over there is a blessing. When people begin to think about coming to the house of God, they begin to think about the God of the blessing. How that He just moves on our hearts and how He shows up in our midst. The scripture says in verse number 27, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem. Look at this. With joy. With joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. Now what's going on here? What's going on? What's going on here is there's people that are full of joy. I look out over this congregation and I'm troubled. I want you to turn to the Psalm of Praise. What psalm is that? Well, there's only one psalm that says it's a psalm of praise, and it's not 150. I thought that too. It's 145. Turn to Psalm 145. That's a psalm of praise. It's the only psalm in all the Bible. You say, well, I'm going to search while you preach it. Well, no, go home tonight now after I get through and search the scripture. And if you find another psalm that's entitled the psalm of praise, you call me if it's before 12. Midnight. Amen. Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise. How many of you have that right under Psalm 145 in your Bible? Raise your hand. Is there anyone that does not have that? It's because it is. There are not psalms of praise. No, there are psalms that mention praise, but this is the Psalm of Praise. I'm just going to highlight a few things in here, and I pray to God that you will really get into this psalm. This evening, when I was up in my room reading this psalm, I mean, it got real. It got real with me and God. I mean, it was something. A psalm of praise. I began to sing this psalm to the Lord. Tell Him how much I love Him. I'm sorry that I haven't praised Him more in my life. I want my life to praise the Lord. Let's look at what David said in this psalm of praise. You know what? I look out over this congregation, and don't be offended at me. I love you. There's some of you young folks, you have no joy in your life. It shows on your face too, not just tonight. It just shows you have no joy. Something's missing in your life, but it's not just the young folks. There are so many people in our world today that have no real joy. Now, they can work up a little happiness through some kind of special event, a birthday party, some kind of special event. Boy, they can get happy, but then it all goes away. And you find yourself alone at night, and there's no joy in sight. There's nothing intrinsic. There's nothing inward that's flowing like a river of water in your soul because you're missing the joy of the Lord in your life. Can I tell you, God wants you to have joy in your life? Amen. He does. Amen. God wants you to experience His joy. God wants me to experience His joy. How often, preacher? Paul said, always. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again I say, rejoice. He said, let me repeat that. Right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And let me say that again. Rejoice. Rejoice. In this psalm, David tells us why we should praise the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I could think of all kinds of reasons. Many of you stood up Wednesday night and I told you to keep it to one, and it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to keep it to one. Just give me one reason to praise the Lord, and it was hard. I could see you struggling with it. We all struggle with it. You begin to want to praise God, and you just stand up, and things just begin to come out because you know God has been so good to you. God has been so good to us. David said, let me tell you why you should praise the Lord. You want to learn to praise the Lord? He said, you've got to think about who He is and what He does. I've outlined some things here, and I just went through just this evening. And so I know I missed some. God's word is just so, I mean, it's deep. But I want to give you what God gave me. Notice if you would in verse number 3. Look at verse number 3. He said, praise God for His greatness. He said, great is the Lord. In the latter part of that, he said, and praise Him for His greatness is unsearchable. Just praise God for how great He is. Do you realize how great God is? I think sometimes we use those terms, but David said, oh, God is great. That's why you should praise Him. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. The Lord is gracious. Praise God that He's gracious. Amen. Amen. Praise God that He's gracious. He said, not only is He gracious, but He's full of compassion. Praise God that He's compassionate. Amen. Amen. He's great in mercy. Praise God that He's a merciful God. Where would we be if God wasn't a merciful God? I want to take even now an opportunity to tell God again, God, I thank You for Your mercy. Your mercy. Look at verse number 9. Praise God for His goodness. The Lord is good, but He's not good to me. That's not what the inspired Word of God said. It says He's good to all. Amen. The Lord is good. David said, hey, praise Him. Why, David? He's great. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's good. Then look when he said in verse number 11, praise Him for His glory. Oh, thank God for His glory. Praise Him, he said, for His power in verse number 11, the last. He said, Thy power. Praise God for His power. I'm so glad that when I go to God, I don't have to think, well, I sure hope God has the power to do this. Well, I done got myself in a fix now. I sure hope God has the power to get me out of this or to forgive this sin or to wash me clean of this. I'm glad that I have absolute confidence in the almighty power of God. What did David say? He said, praise Him. Praise Him for that. There's nothing that you can do that God can't take care of. There's nothing that you need that God can't supply. Praise Him. Praise Him for His power. Look in verse 17. He said, the Lord is righteous. Amen. Praise God that He's righteous. He's always right. God's never wrong. Isn't that something? Our little finite minds can't wrap around that. God is never wrong. You know, I've adapted a saying over many years of my ministry. The Bible is always right. It's never wrong. God is never wrong, brethren. He's never wrong. So, well, have you ever thought He was wrong? Well, I thought He was, but I found out I was. Amen? God is never wrong. God's righteous. Everything He does is right. I praise God for that. See, that's why I can come in and commit things into His hands. That's why we can commit our loved ones into His hands and our situations into His hands. Why? Because we know God is going to do right. Praise God for His righteousness. Look in verse 17 again. Praise God for His holiness. He said, He's holy. I'm glad God is holy. Oh, to praise God for His holiness. Verse 18, praise God for His nearness. He said, the Lord is nigh. Aren't you glad for God's presence? You know something? God has just been breaking my heart the last couple of weeks. I just can't keep from weeping. When I think about, there are young people in this congregation who really know nothing about the presence of God. I mean the presence of God. Do you know what it is to be in the presence of God? I'm not talking about being in the presence of church. I'm not talking about being in the presence of human royalty or dignity or dignitaries. I'm talking about being in the very presence of God, sensing His presence. That's something. And David said, you ought to praise Him for it. The Lord is nigh. The Lord is near. That's what that means. The Lord is present. And then look at verse number 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him. His providential care, God preserved us. I'm glad, and I praise God for His providential care, don't you? See, now here's what David did. He gave us some reasons to praise God. Now, certainly these are not all, probably not all in the psalm. These are just some that I went down through in a few hours I had between churches. I was up in my study, up in my room, and I just kind of highlighted these, and I said, oh, I praise God. I praise God for this. God, I praise You. You're all of this and then some. Amen? You're all of this and then some, Lord. I'm glad I know You. Thank You for manifesting Yourself to me. And then God brought something else to my attention. David doesn't only tell us why to praise God, and this will be our final thought. He tells us when to praise God. When to praise God. When do you praise God? So, well, I try to praise Him every time I come to church, preacher. That's good. But did you know the Bible here? It just teaches us in this psalm of praise. Notice what David said here in verse number 2. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. So, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to praise Him forever and ever. David said, I'm going to praise Him every day while I'm here on this earth. Amen? Every day. Is that what he said, brethren? He wasn't lying. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, inspired of God, David said, every day, God, hold me to it. I'm going to praise and bless Your holy name. How about you? How about me? Are we going to praise Him every day? David said, now we ought to praise Him for all these things. That's what we ought to praise Him for. But when should we praise Him? David said, every day. Every day. You say, well, now, preacher, there's some good days and bad days. Yeah, I know. He said, praise Him. In those days, right? There's some days when things are going good and some days when things are not. David said, I know. Praise Him when they are. Amen. When they are what? Going good or going bad. Every day. That's what the Word says. That's what David wrote. This is a psalm of praise. He said, I'm going to write a song about praising God. Every day. Every day. Could you imagine if every Christian praised God every day? What a difference it would make in this world in which we live. Not only did he say that we're to praise Him day to day, but he said we're to praise Him generation to generation. Look at verse number 4. One generation shall praise Thy works, look at it now, to another. I thought about our young people. I love the Young People Fellowship Baptist Church. They're good folks. I want them to see their pastor, and I want them to see the adults in this church praising the Lord. Brethren, we need to teach our young people we have something to praise God about. Amen. Now, I'm not throwing off on this young generation. I love the young people. But there's something that's embedded in youth. And you and I that have gotten a little older in life, we know we faced it too. We struggled with it too. It's a spirit of unthankfulness. You know, when you're young, you have to fight it. You have to fight it when you get older, don't you, brethren? Don't you? Come on, young folks. Don't you have to fight it? You know you do. Oh, preacher, I'm thankful every day. Well, that's great. You keep asking God to help you remain that way. But there's something in all of man, and it seems like that it's harder when we're younger, that we have to fight against this spirit of ungratefulness and unthankfulness. David said in verse number 4, he said, you know, we ought to praise God from generation to generation. From one generation she'll praise Thy works to another. Isn't that something? I like what David said here. There's a word that David uses twice. In verse number 4, he uses it. In verse number 6, he said, and shall declare Thy mighty works, or Thy mighty acts. Verse number 6, the latter part, and I will declare Thy greatness. Boy, as God's people, we ought to get to declaring how good and how great God is. Amen. I ought to praise Him. So he said, I want to praise Him from day to day. Then he said, I want to praise Him from generation to generation. You pass it down. You know how people become unthankful? When they look ahead of them and they see people are not thankful and they say, well, you know, if they're not thankful, I'm not going to be. I don't want my children to look at my life, my grandchildren. I don't want any young person. I don't want any person as far as that goes, but especially young people, to think that I'm unthankful to the God of heaven for what he's done for me in my life. So day to day, I want to praise him so that generation to generation, that praise will carry. Notice what else he said. Look, if you would. He said, from nation to nation, we ought to praise God. Now, this one is something. I want you to look at verse number 12. David, as he's going down talking about God's graciousness in verse 8, his compassion, his mercy, his goodness, he said, all of thy works in verse number 10 shall praise thee, O Lord. He said in verse number 12, he said, to make known to the sons of men. Isn't that our commission, brethren? Aren't we to go out into all nations? Aren't we? We have a strong missions program. Why do we do that? Because we want all of these nations that are represented by these flags and then some to praise the Lord. He's worthy of our praise. The only way a man will praise God is if he's led of the Holy Spirit. May our vessel be a vessel of praise. So David said, I not only want to praise God from day to day, he said, I want to praise him. I want to see it from generation to generation. And I really like this about this nation to nation. Look how David started the psalm. I will extol thee, O God. Isn't that something? But look how he closes it. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. David said, I'm going to do it. But he said, I pray that when I get through, everybody that hears me praising God will praise God with me. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If you could just go out in public and people just praising God. Instead of murmuring and complaining and cursing and fighting and bickering and backbiting and contentious, people praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Hey, can I ask you a question? When's the last time you praised the Lord? Well, I read my Bible, preacher. I didn't ask that. When's the last time you praised the Lord? Well, I said grace over my food, preacher. I'm glad you did. But when's the last time you praised the Lord? When's the last time you told God how great he was? How good he is? How merciful he's been? When's the last time you praised him? You want victory in your life? You want something to be life-changing? You want to get some joy welling up in your soul? Praise the Lord. You say, now, preacher, I don't have anything to praise God about. You've got plenty. Those folks back in 2 Chronicles didn't have anything when they began to praise God but his word, but that was good enough. They acted on his word, and God sent the victory. And then they really had cause to praise God, and they did too. David said, I'm going to write you a song. I'm going to write you a song about praising God. Here's some attributes of God that you can praise him for. And he said, you ought to do it every day. I pray you'd do it from generation to generation. Dads, moms, parents, teach your children to praise the Lord. Amen? Let us elders teach the younger to praise the Lord. Let's teach our young people to praise the Lord. Not say, well, God let me down again. I just don't know if we're going to be able to keep going to church. It just seems like things are not working out. Just praise God. Praise God. From need to need. Got two more. So he said, I'm going to do it from day to day. I'm going to praise God from generation to generation. David did say, I've been young, now I'm old, right? He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. How about you? Need to need. Look in verse number 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. God meeting your needs, every one of them. I want to go on record again this evening and say that God's met every need that I've ever had in my life. Every need that I've ever had. I'm so glad that God has withheld some things from me. Sometimes I get so excited about what God's given me that I forget to thank God for what He didn't give me. Because if God had given me some things that I asked Him for, I probably wouldn't be standing before you as your pastor this evening. That's how wicked the heart of man can be. We think we know what we want, but we don't. God knows what we need. Amen. Now He does. And I'm so thankful that God is that way. Amen. He's just merciful that way. Amen. Yeah. He just is. We can't praise Him enough, brethren. We can't praise Him enough. Need to need, He said. Need to need. And then finally, from prayer to prayer. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. The Lord is nigh. Unto who, preacher? All them that call upon Him. And to all that call upon Him in truth, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. And He will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. You know, I believe David here is saying that with a broken heart. I really do. I believe he's saying, you know, it's sad when people don't realize how good God is. It's sad when men, the sons of men, he mentioned them over in verse number 12 to make known to the sons of men. It's sad when they don't realize where their provision's coming from and what they have in life, that out of the hand of Almighty God, He's provided it all. David said, you know, that's a sad way. I was there. You've been there. And then he closed it by saying, because I know that God is worthy of all of my praise all of the time. He said in verse number 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever. He said, my mind's made up. You're not going to talk me out of it now. Listen to me. You're not going to talk me out of it. I'm going to praise the Lord. Well, people look at you funny. David says, you think I care? I'll turn cartwheels. And he did. He done a holy dance before the Lord. It embarrassed some of his family. Right? Why? David was happy in the Lord. Yes. He was praising the Lord. David said, hey, my heart's fixed. My heart's fixed. My mind's made up by the good grace of God. As long as God lendeth me breath, I'm going to praise His holy name. How about you? It's a choice. Let's all stand. It's a choice. You get to make that choice. I'm not going to do it, preacher. I'm not going to praise the Lord. Well, now go ahead now. Go on, sad sack. Go on, sad sack. Hang your head low. Hang your harp on a willow tree. Go ahead. Have no song. No joy. Go ahead. If that's what you want now, God will let you go through life that way. Always looking at the glass half empty and always looking at the bad things and questioning and wondering why. But if you decide you're going to serve God and you're going to praise God, and that's your decision, if you'll decide, I'm going to praise God. As long as the Lord lendeth me breath, I'm going to praise Him. I can always find something to praise. You say, well, preacher, I can always find something to complain about. I know you can. I can too. Sometimes I do real good at that. Better than I want to tell you about. But did you know we as people that can find something to complain and grumble and gripe, if we choose, we can also find something to praise the Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice. Young people, listen to the preacher tonight. Now, I love you. And I am not saying that you do not praise the Lord. I don't know what's in your life. But you need to begin to praise the Lord if you're not. You need to begin to praise Him. He's been good to you. Praise Him. Make a choice tonight, would you? Would you let Memorial Day Sunday of 2020, the pandemic year, be the time that you made a decision on Memorial Sunday night, 2020, I am deciding not to follow Jesus. I have decided to praise my Jesus. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise the Lord. Every day, like Psalm 45 said. And if I find myself getting through a day without praising Him, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to ask the Spirit of God, God, help me now. I don't want to go a day. I hope it becomes spontaneous, where it just flows out of me like a mighty rushing river. But if I go and I'm forgetting, Spirit of God, please smite me in my heart and remind me, son. You said you was going to praise God every day. The day is far gone. Would you make a decision to praise Him? Young and old alike, let's bow our heads together. We're not going to ask the pianist to come, all right? But I'm going to ask you, if God spoke to your heart, to make a decision in your heart.